Podcast. My name is Lyndon Burton, a.k.a. Youngboy D-Wits, a.k.a. the People's Champ, a.k.a. Beard Gang is in the motherfucking building. And this is episode 47? 47, I believe. Yeah, I think this is episode 47. Hold on, let me check. Give me a second, audience. I'm sorry, because I want to get this right, because I keep fucking up the episodes. No, this is not 47. Jesus Christ. Yo, this is 47. 47. I'm correct. This is episode 47, and I'm here today with Street Corner, but you may know them as Lucid Dreams and Awkward Glances. How you guys doing today?
Good,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, we good, man. Thanks for having us.
Oh, ain't no thing, bro. What y'all been up to, man? Laffy's been popping, and I know y'all got something coming, so just, like, tell me what y'all, what's been up with Street Corner?
Well, we got an album we've been working on for a little while now. It's called New World Error.
Real. I fuck with that.
New World Errors.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Errors. Okay. See, that's different. Yeah, that's right. Like, when you say New World Error, it's like,
yeah,
all right.
Exactly. We had a whole discussion about it. It was originally supposed to be New World Error, but then you know, we changed it to plural. But,
real.
Yeah.
That's what, when we talk about it, I'm going to ask y'all why y'all went with errors to error. Yeah. But wait for that. We're going to dive into that.
Cool.
But, yeah, it's like, it's a 14 song, upwards like 20 track album, and we're pretty much like us as a collective, the Street Corner. It's supposed to be the intersection between, like, it's just supposed to be the viewpoint of the Street Corner. Like, that's what the Street Corner is. So it's the viewpoint of the whole world, like everything's happening at once. And it's socio-political, very, like, conscious hip-hop.
Word. That's what's up, man. I fuck with that, bro. Like, there's not too much conscious hip-hop out right now. And the fact that you said y'all going for that socio-political, like, vibe, that speaks a lot. So we can have a conversation today that I didn't know if we would have. Because, like, when I talk to artists, it could either go the political route, it could go the spiritual route, or it could just be like, we just kicking the shit. Yeah. So, like, now that y'all said that, when we talk about the album, I'm excited to get into a little bit about what y'all's thinking. But before we move any further, I gotta read a passage for the keys, give the people the keys for the week. And speaking of this weekend, my boy Nick threw a fire party last night. That boy was sauced up. But not really, though, because he was stressing. He had to DJ. He only had, like, two beers. But, your boy was sauced up. I'm a fucking beat that out. Now I'm just crying. But, fucking back to the thing in hand, the key for the week. Inspire the young world. There's never been a time when a young king or a young queen approached me in the street that it didn't make me smile. Now I have love for all of fan love, no matter your age, but if I get to have an impact on young people's lives, I know that's a real blessing. I've been doing this for a long time, but when I say I'm just getting started, I mean it. I'm excited to see where I'll be in 5 years or even 10, just knowing where I've been. But the part that makes me really grateful is that new fans are, who are too young to know about my past wins, still find me and have love for me. And it's not just about the money and them showing love for me. It's about that I can actually inspire them and change their lives and show them how to be a young king or young queen. Key of the week. I definitely think that it's important to inspire the youth 100%, because I think as we move into the new age of the we're in charge of the world, because pretty soon the baby boomers and Generation X and all the old people, they're going to die and it's going to be left on the millennials and the new young kids. And I think them being very impressionable right now, seeing with just them being in the social media area, I think it's better that we have leaders that come up and inspire them, because they could swirl out of control, because the social media thing, it's not reality. And I think that's something that people our age struggle to deal with, that, like, they forget that there's an outside world outside of this, all this internet bullshit. So I think that key is, that's how I'm interpreting that key, at least. I'm not going to look at it as like, oh, yeah, thank you to my new fans. That, which basically the same, but I'm going to put my own little spin on it. But without further ado, let's get into this interview. So I want to start off with, y'all have very interesting names. First off, it's Lucid Dreams and Awkward Glances, and y'all are the Street Corner. So just explain to the listeners out there what made you decide on these names, and there has to be, I know it's important to you guys, because those are names that don't just come out of, like, just chilling one night and I'm just like, yeah, that's what you're gonna call them. That's just not how those two names are names that come out about that. So just tell me how y'all, let's start off there.
So I guess the whole thing started off with Awkward Glances, which was like basically came out of actually just like I was talking to this chick, and like it just this was like back in like probably late high school days, but like just like oh I'm gonna catch you something like oh I'm gonna catch you later like awkwardly glancing, you know, and it was just like a way to describe like those like eye contacts. That's like with somebody that you don't really know.
Yeah, that you're just like, trying to get to meet. And
yeah. And it's like, so, but it eventually evolved into the idea, like the whole, just like, of being, like, having stuff that was about social interaction. Okay. And like, being like socially conscious. And then like the awkward glances being like using that, the visual metaphor as like, just like the vision of all these different. Thing.
Different Rather things that can be
social or political or
whatever. No, for sure. Because if you look at the name Awkward Glances, the first thing you described was like it's like a moment that everybody goes through is something like just like with love and something that's like a positive way. But you could also look at awkward glances as like, oh, the awkward glances that we get negatively or the awkward glance. It could be so many different things. So like I definitely fuck with that. Lucid dreams, how do we get that?
One thing I'm gonna say first, Awkward Glance, he also is a visual artist.
Okay.
And like he makes, like, very, like, abstract art.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's, like, that's also another, like, thing. And, like, also the way he raps, too. It's just, like, nothing. It's, like, the aesthetic of it is off.
Yeah.
Like, it's all, he never gives you something that's a square. It's, like, fucked up a little bit.
It's experimental music. And yeah. That's something I wanted to get into as well.
But Lucid Dreams actually came from, so my real name is Myron.
Mm-hmm.
And my nickname, like, my family gave me, you know, like, little black kids, they always
just
call them something.
Yeah.
It was Dooley.
Real.
And so, like, when I first started making music, I started making, like, house music, and I went by DJ Dooley. Okay. And this was, like, the trash year. Like, 14, like, have no idea what I'm doing, just have a laptop.
Just straight in the game, yeah. Fresh.
And then I met him, and we started making music, and I started, like, making, like, newer stuff. And I was trying to figure out, like, what I wanted to be called. But, like, also, during that time period, we watched this movie called Waking Life a bunch. And it was...
Pardon my ignorance, but for the fan, what's that movie?
Waking Life is a movie by Richard Linklater.
Okay.
And it's, like, a rotoscope film, so it's, like, animation on top of, like, actual shit.
Okay, word.
And
the same guy that made Boyhood and... Dazed and Confused.
Okay, yeah, word. I know Dazed and Confused, yeah. And I've heard of Boyhood.
Yeah, so, like, basically, I was getting, like, heavy into Lucid Dreaming. I was into it in high school, but, like, I didn't really, like, I started smoking weed in college, and so it's, like, you get more into, like, your consciousness.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
So, like, I didn't realize this, like, oh, this is, like, something people, like,
do
practice.
Yeah.
And it was funny because I actually stopped smoking weed for a few months. In order to, like, learn how to do it. And I started really doing it. And that's pretty much when the street corner started. And I just needed a name. And I was like, I mean, two words would look good. Like, because, like, everything for us, like, the aesthetic is, mm-hmm. like, the street corner. It's always all lowercase, all one word.
Okay.
But our names are both, like, his is Awkward Glances, like, capital A, capital G. And then Lucid Dreams, capital L, capital D.
Okay.
And so, like, I was trying to think of a two-word name that, like, would look good, and I just came up with Lucid Dreams because that's what I was doing.
That's what you're doing. Okay. Yeah. Real.
And that's how, like, and that kind of, like, cultivated into my hip-hop style, which is, like, it's less harsh than his, but it's, like, more, like, introspective.
Okay. Word. So, bouncing off of that, how do we get Street Corner, then? Because Awkward Glances, I understand the meaning behind it, and I understand Lucid Dreams, the meaning behind that.
Originally, I feel like it was just because of the intersection thing.
Yeah.
Because, like, we were dealing with, like our styles. The fact that, like, we, like, two really different styles can make, like, very cohesive, like, music.
Okay.
And then, like the whole black-white thing, that's, like, another intersection.
Yep.
And then the fact that it's, like, it felt like everything we were... Because, like, originally, we were, like, we're never, like, the type of people, like, just, like, do, like, the boastful rap where it's just, like, all about, like, me, that kind of stuff.
No braggadocious, not that typical money, cars, hoes,
but, like,
shit.
We talk about a lot of conflicting things. Like, we talk about, like, issues.
Yeah.
And it's like, so it's like, I don't know, like the idea of conflict, the idea that like, it's like the street corner is a place where you can like create conflict, view it, or like solve it, that kind
of
thing.
It's 100%. Like, I feel that because when you think, when the average person thinks of a rap group called Street Corner, they expect one thing, but y'all are giving them something totally different. That's something that's just conscious and that has actual meaning behind it. Yeah, that's not just the trap, the guns, the...
Right.
100%, I fuck with that.
And we wanted something like with names like Awkward Glances and Lucid Dreams that's like both pretty like... pretty experimental names, kind of. You could probably expect some kind of experimental thing from it. But we wanted like a name that could be like associate, like more associated with like urban stuff. Just like it creates that conflict with the street corner versus like the actual content behind it.
100%. I fuck with it.
That it was also during a time where we were like really being influenced by like friends of ours that like lived within walking distance of like where we were staying and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's all like this like understanding of like the like actual genius and like people of like, you know, like the hood.
Yeah,
like,
no, 100%.
That like all that kind of stuff.
I fuck with that heavy. Yeah. Like most people today when they just come in and talk about music, it's, you don't get that much introspective and that much thought process behind it. It's more of like, we're going to get this freestyle. We're going to get this out. It's going to be all the tunes. It's cookie cutter. But y'all seem like y'all taking y'all's time. And it's very impact. Y'all want to leave a message behind. It's not just y'all, you take this in 1 second. And it's not microwave. It's this is fine dining. Yeah. I'm going to serve you up. 100%. Well, let's get into some of your influences so we can paint the picture. So we know the names. I want to paint the picture of who influenced these guys before we go into the music, so the fans can understand the background of it. So who are some of y'all's biggest influences? Not necessarily just in music. It could be or just things that inspire the music.
Fucking Basquiat, man.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell Basquiat. You got the hair going. Yeah.
Basquiat, 100%.
The list could... I mean,
yeah, the list could, like... if we go back, it's like... For me, it's like Prince.
100.
People like Earth, Wind & Fire.
Classic.
Parliament. Like, when I talk about, like, sound, because it's like... I'm into, like, funk.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's like, that's prime stuff. We're both, like, classically trained musicians, so it's, like, classical music is, like, heavy. Yeah. We're actually writing a four-movement dance piece right now. That's all just gonna be, like, hip-hop, electronic music, but it's, like, four movements, like, with a story we wrote.
Real, okay.
Yeah.
So, y'all sound like some Lin-Manuel Miranda-type niggas.
Yeah, yeah. Hamilton, yeah, David Diggs, yeah. Clipping.
Real.
Death Grips is... I'm talking about influences that I know both of us have right now.
Plus,
though.
Like, yeah, MF Doom and, like, Joey Badass.
Really? Y'all can give some personal influences? Like, because we'll do group influence, but I want to dive into each of y'all so they can understand how this group meshes. So y'all definitely do personal influences as well.
Zach De La Rocha. Like, for me, like, probably the first person who was, like, I'm all in. Mm-hmm. Like, because it's, like, there was a lot of rappers that, like, really, like, I love. Like, Kanye, early Kanye, fucking, like, that's, like, that's what hip-hop sounds like to me. Like, early Kanye, in all honesty, is, like, that's what rapping, that's what it is. That's what it's, like, sure. If you want to show a foreign person, like, what is rap?
You going to show them College Dropout.
Yeah. Biggie, Tupac, Ludacris, all those people. But like,
he's the first person I know that says Ludacris. That's what's up.
Because Ludacris is, okay, Ludacris and T.I.
I understand T.I. is just...
First of all, like, in my, like, when I hear them, it's just like, y'all are so good at, like...
Doing what y'all do.
Yeah, like, yeah, y'all are, like, just really talented.
100%.
Like, they were, like, the motherfuckers who's, like, you're 10 years old and you're, like, he's going to beat whatever's around him, like... He's going to be the best.
Yeah.
In his neighborhood.
Luda's so slept on, like, Splash Waterfalls to me is still one of the greatest songs, like, songs that, like, talk about sex. And the way he did it, it was just so different from just everybody else, how he did it. What are some of your influences, Awkward? My brother. What should I? Can I call you Ock? Like, what am I gonna call you? Because I don't want to just say Aqua Glances. This whole like
AG.
AG. I'm gonna call AG. You AG.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna call you AG.
Or Glances.
Glances. You call him Glances. I'm gonna go Glances then. What are some of your influences?
So besides the ones that were already named, I guess like Zach De La Rocha is like huge. Definitely okay. Pretty big. Yeah. But like taking it back, like I was all like. The music that I listened to was through my parents, like, mostly when I was, like, younger.
For sure.
So that came from, like, Queen and the Beatles and, like, just, like, even, like, Bob Dylan, even though neither one of them was a fan of that. Yeah. Like, I really got into Bob Dylan. I, like, yeah, definitely love what he did. But, I guess, I don't know, because, like, it's not just music to me, like...
Do the always, art, man, whatever whatever influences you.
Yeah, sure, dude, like, I mean... Not,
yeah, I left out, like...
But, like, Basquiat and Keith Haring.
Keith is amazing.
Yeah, actually, I wish I would have... I'm planning on going outside later, so I didn't wear the... but I have a bunch of, like, Keith Haring shirts I bought from this, like, just dope-ass clothing
brand. He went on a...
A thrift run?
No, he went on the solo tour of America.
Okay, not all of them. I just went. I went to New York and then I went to the West Coast.
Okay,
that was last summer.
Real? How was that?
It was dope.
That was dope.
Loved it.
Favorite city that you went to?
Oh man, fuck! Just in terms of like wanting to go back repeatedly, New York for sure. Just because there was so much shit. There's so much art stuff over there that, like...
The birthplace of hip-hop and like, street art.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like 100%.
And, yeah, exactly. And plus, if you want to go way back, like abstract painting and all this... Like, it all came from the same
there,
spot.
Yeah. Like the so Keith Haring, Basquiat, Warhol movement.
Harlem that, Renaissance.
Yeah.
Huh, music.
We could go even farther back with
jazz,
fucking...
Jazz was like... Because jazz is like...
Jazz is
a product of New Orleans.
New Orleans and New York. And yeah. And Harlem. But
New York is where, like, even to this day, like, if you, like, I'll hear some jazz groups from New York, and I'll just be like, how old are these people? It's like 15. It's like, what?
Yeah.
Like...
They're wild.
No, dude, I've been playing a horn since fifth grade. I could not do this.
I'm trying to think of that cause shit, you want to talk about Harlem Renaissance. I'm trying to think of the fucking poet, and my mom's going to kill me because this is like one of the... Langston Hughes. No, Langston Hughes is the basketball player. Wait.
No, Langston Hughes is the
right player. There's a basketball player named Langston Hughes too, for sure. Like, what? He played for the Cavs. And it was LeBron's early like shooting guard, and I didn't want to mess that up. Like, but Langston Hughes is definitely a poet from the Harlem Renaissance. Yeah, see, my mind with just the poets and basketball is just...
You could have blown up like somebody's career just now, though.
Like, facts.
Because
like,
even like the people who don't know the poet would have just been like, oh my God. And then the people who don't know the basketball player, like, this nigga cold.
But nah, that nigga not good, though. That nigga some trash. Actually got the game. But that's awesome that you guys are like, well, like, let me not say, because I don't want to, people may take that as like an insult, but like other people, not you guys, but like, it's awesome to see that like y'all are well, I don't want to say well-rounded, but it is, it's well, like y'all are like fully function, like y'all are artists. Like y'all don't just hit one notch, y'all hit the full gamut, y'all hit the full spectrum. And that's very interesting when we get into the music, because the Street Corners album, like y'all said, isn't out. So I want, when we talk about music, I want to talk about the Awkward Glances music and the Lucid Dreams music. And then what can we expect when you merge those two, when you fuse those two? All
right.
So let's start off with one of the projects that was most recently released, The Delicate Finesse. So yeah. I want to talk about what was the inspiration behind The Delicate Finesse. My guy Mikey Hook, shout out Mikey. He was telling me for months, you gotta check out this Delicate Finesse. This is the new shit. This is the new wave. And I checked out. I fucked with it. So what... What was the process behind creating it? So
for me with The Delicate Finesse, I wanted an EP just because, I've been working on a lot of like solo projects and whatnot. I basically had like 12 like fleshed out, like I was producing for a while, but like I would have like 60 beats or something. But like only 12 of them was like
usable.
Yeah, like what I really wanted, what I really represented. So like I had basically an album's worth of stuff, like finished, and also some stuff for like me and him.
Okay.
And then my laptop got stolen. Okay, damn. So I was living on Harding Street across from the police station, the house right across from the police station. Jeez. And my house got broken into. And like what?
From probably the window that was facing the police.
Yo, that's some shit. But that tells you they're not looking like.
Yeah, yeah. That's a whole another conversation.
Yeah, that's a whole, no facts.
But anyway, so I got like this old shitty like 2001 just Microsoft computer, and I started making like new beats, and I started using like live instruments, and just like I really started finding my sound because I had like the worst equipment.
Okay.
And then like right after that, I got a MacBook from shout out Catherine Reed.
Shouts out, yo.
Yeah, so I got a MacBook from her, and then I started like really producing again. Like I had all my stuff together, and the Delicate Finesse, Mikey used to say that all the time. I know you follow Mikey on Twitter.
Yeah, it's my guy, bro. So I've been knowing Mikey for a while.
So the Delicate Finesse, a lot of people thought that like, not a lot of people because whatever, but for like a year, Mikey's just been talking about this album, like this mixtape. He was like, I got Delicate Finesse coming out. And like, you know, Mikey like hype stuff.
No, he hype.
Like, he'll get like 30 retweets for no reason. Just oh, it's Mike on a Tuesday. Like, so he was hyping it up already, and then I was just like, Mike, what if I actually make that for you?
Real.
And then he was just like, what you talking about? I was just like, well, I'm already making like an EP. Let me just take the name because you already been like promoting it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, and then I'll let you get on the track and whatnot.
We'll make it a new wave.
Yeah, yeah. And so that's what we did. And pretty much just like the Delicate Finesse, the idea of it. It's that color purple, which is like that lucid dream color for me, like right now, just like the idea of lucidity. Like I always get purple.
Okay.
Like it's just the most psychedelic, like the purple I chose for the cover is like, that's the wave for me.
Okay. Word.
And so, it's just a look into like my mind and like the aspects of it that like bring out the lucidity. And like, basically, I just wanted a small body of work that could focus in on like my aesthetic and my like my vibe as a person.
Something that could just explain you in that moment in time.
Yeah, and so it's like that's why I love like alternative hip hop and experimental music, because it's like this project is way less like talkative. Then, like, even though, like, I bar out on certain things and it's still conscious hip-hop, like, the Street Corner album is going to be, like, very direct messages in comparison to that.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, his album is, like, more...
direct. Yours is like free flowing, and it's like...
Yeah.
The message is coming in a wave.
Exactly.
100%. I want to talk about two songs in particular on the Delicate Finesse before I get to Awkward.
All right.
I want to talk about Walking Life.
Waking Life?
Waking Life. Yeah. My bad. Not walk. My fucking dyslexic ass. Waking Life. I want to just talk about what was your thought process and the writing process going into that song.
Yeah, so that's a sample from that movie, Waking Life, that I was talking about.
Okay.
And the beginning of it, I'm pretty sure it says, the trick is to combine your waking life with your dreams. And if you could do that, anything's possible. And that's pretty much like the mantra of like my like, I guess, brand as an artist.
Yeah, something you believe in.
Yeah, just because it's like I've always had like outlandish dreams, but like I come from a very conservative household. So I've always been like very like measured and focused. But like it's almost to the point like, well, my biggest competitor is myself, because as soon as I tell myself like, this is possible now. This is possible now. Like, I'm best when I'm just, like, anything's possible, you know? 100%. But if I'm just, like, I can only do this much, you know, you trap yourself.
Yeah,
so like
you don't want to put yourself in that box.
Yeah, so that was, like, the mantra for that. And then, like, once I just got into it, it just kind of, like, the songs like that are, like, write themselves.
100%. Well, I want to compare that with the idea of just the way you view life and how you, anything is possible. It's not, we're not going to box ourselves in. And then your mantra for life compared to the song Death. I want to just talk about the comparison of life to death and just your thought process going into that song and just the mentality behind it. I know you had, that was the song with Mikey on it, but your bars in particular, I felt had a obviously Mikey's just digging around, but I felt like you were trying to convey something in that song.
Okay, so that's cool because I'm glad you're like making these points. Like, I'm really glad that you listened to it.
Definitely, bro.
Like, Waking Life, I feel like the flow of it and how I handle it is like more combative than death. Whereas death is like light, that was like a fun song to record. Waking Life is like the feel of it is supposed to be like, get the fuck up, cause like you can do this.
Yeah.
And death is the idea of that is supposed to be like, the things that stop you from like achieving your life are the things that like we shouldn't care about. So it's like narcissism and just like a pessimistic attitude. It's like when people want to bring you down because like they feel bad or the negativity in the world. Like pretty much that whole song is just like, don't pay attention to the negativity in the world.
100%.
And I don't mean that in the sense at all of like, don't pay attention to like Afghanistan, because like we have songs about Afghanistan, like pay attention to those things, but like that negativity isn't going to like empower you to like slow down progression. Like progression has to happen. And so like death is talking about that ego death, like wipe away the bullshit in the front and mm-hmm. then like really appreciate life
for what it is. Okay, well, In these podcasts, I like to take detours and I like to just broaden the conversation because, yes, we talk about the music, but it sparks new ideas and new things. So you said a very interesting thing right there about the stripping away of the ego. In the era of social media where everything is ego, how difficult is that, do you feel? And this is for both of y'all. And how do you think with this era of just ego, how do you feel one can strip away that ego in this era where everything is People broadcast their lives 24/7. And the idea is to create this ego, or not necessarily create this ego, but show your life to make it seem like it's amazing when in actuality some people are living lives.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how, in this era of that, how do we strip away the ego?
I think that like groups of people help to strip away that like individual, like, so when, like you had said earlier about like that Khalid book, The Key, it was like with how kids and us too, I mean people older than us too, like how we view the digital world as like a completely separate, like our main universe sometimes. So like getting in groups, like the party that y'all had, or like just any art-related, music-related, party, like, not even party, but anything.
Social interactions, yeah.
Yeah, social interactions. Like, I really feel like that's how you start to strip that away. Because right now, it's like conversations happen on news feeds. And we've all seen how, like,
and people
both
just,
emotional and dysfunctional they can be.
Like, on the other hand, like, it's, like, I get it. Because it's, like, immediately when you asked that question, I wanted to say it's, like, I feel like our careers, just like personally, maybe not the street corner, just because the street corner is like, it's gonna flesh out into something way bigger mm-hmm. than like both of us. I feel like
that's the dream, at least.
Yeah,
that's a goal.
Yeah, that's
sure.
a real dream. But like, people, like the internet can empower you to like represent yourself.
100%.
And people like represent themselves in positive ways, sometimes like defensively, sometimes just to show off, just to shine on people. And it's like, I feel like as personal artists, we'd probably be like further where we'd want to be, like further to like what people consider a success, if we were like more like egotistical. Just because there's a certain level of it that does breed like this image that people agree with.
Yeah, 100%.
Just, like when I see my favorite artists, like even people who are like super conscious, like Vince Staples or something, when I see them like on a Sprite commercial,
it's like, I could get that.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And it's like, now I'm not dissing the Sprite commercial at all, but I'm just like, the idea of a Sprite commercial or the idea of like placement, just like, you're pretty much the same thing as an actor at this point. You're the same thing as like guy playing basketball in the NBA. Like, you're at that level.
Yeah.
Because of branding. And 100%. So it's like, I don't know. Like, the fight, like, the inner battle is crazy. But, like, always, always, I feel like, yeah, be true to yourself and, like, surround yourself with other people who are, like, conscious enough to, like, create a community.
100%. I think that I'm going to take something from what you said and something from what you said. The ego, the idea of the idea that we need, like, artists today have to do that because that's what the fans expect. I think if it was more so of you being who you are, I think we would see less of that. Less of, because people feel the need, like you said, to stunt. People feel the need to, like, to show off. But if they were true and honest to who they are, then the stunting would come naturally. For example, Logic. Logic is him 100% of the time, every day. And to me, I think him doing a Rick and Morty, him working with the guy from Dragon Ball Z who voiced Vegeta, him just writing scripts for Funimation and making an anime, to me, that's stunting because that's him doing his dream and that's him being 100% himself. Whereas you see the, and I'm not going to name a rapper, but you see them get the chain and that's just, to me at this point, that's the thing you strip away. That's not them being themselves, that's them fitting to a stereotype. Whereas you see him being himself and the stunting is actually natural and it's real. So I think if the stunning can be natural and real, but as long as you're yourself. That's where I think that the separation. That's the thing. And what you were saying, Lance, is I think that's 100% accurate. The idea that we need to have social constructs and social gatherings because these kids these days don't even know how to have a conversation that's not in text. And I think with our generation, at least with myself and personally, I think text misconstrued so much, and it's the emotion you send behind, like words without.
On the ride here, I was thinking about how every time he texts me, okay, I'm like, what the fuck's this guy?
He could just be like, fucking, like, okay.
If you don't say for sure, then it's like, man, what the fuck?
Are you mad?
Like, no, because like I was thinking about texting okay, but then I was just like, as soon as he sees, like, he's not driving right now, he was gonna see this and just be like,
what the fuck is okay mean? No, but that's the thing. Like, these text dots and these words, unless there's, like, you can see somebody or you can hear the inflection in their voice, you won't know what these words mean, so these kids don't understand conversations. And I think that's the that's gonna be the degrading or the chipping away at society, and I feel like the further we go down this rabbit hole, pretty soon I don't know if y'all saw Ready Player One, but that's coming.
I haven't, but I heard like really good things
about it. Oh, it's just amazing. It's a great movie. Like, and I know if they
fun
had
fact,
this...
Fun fact, Lucid Dreams loves spoiling movies for himself with YouTube videos. I know everything that's going to happen in Infinity War. Have not seen it yet. Probably won't see it in theaters.
You want to lose? Yo, real shit. I used to do that for a little bit, like where I would just watch spoiler videos.
It's fun.
No, it's fire.
I feel like it's cancerous, but like at the same time, like.
Yo, speaking on that,
I can read the comics.
I don't watch the show Arrow, Flash, and Supergirl, and I used to, but I just review it. I just watch the reviews on it. Like, now I just literally watch somebody review it. I don't watch the show. I literally just watch them review it. Like, that and I find more interesting than watching the actual show. So I'm with you on that. But, so yeah, man, but back to the thing we're talking about. How do you feel when everything's getting to that virtual way? Yes, we can plan. We can plan parties, but I feel like if there's not a change, then we're only like putting a Band-Aid on the problem. We're not stitching up the cut to heal it. We're just Band-Aiding it. So, what do you feel is a way to stitch that up, or do you think we still have to just keep fighting along to find that?
Well, yeah, that definitely keep fighting along, because any idea that anyone comes up with can always be altered, or like
100%.
You know, more innovations can like. But I think the biggest thing is kind of like what street art does or did when it started and still does. It creates like a new thing that's not normally in that physical space. And so it makes someone, like whenever you see it, if you see a dope graffiti mural, you're going to stop.
Say something and look at it. Yeah.
Say something, look at what it is. Like look at the cut. At least if you're a person who's
it's going to trigger some emotion. And that's what art, music, medium of movies. So
on a social and like economic level, we need to start like thinking aesthetically in the terms of just like you pick the pair of pants you wear every morning. So it's like, we shouldn't be trapped into this box of thinking. It's like, I want to elaborately make the decisions day to day. Like,
you know, just don't go with emotions, actually.
Yeah, because, like, when stuff, like, a big, like, one is when you did your taxes. Like, it's just a slap in the face when you don't know things.
Yeah.
And when you don't, like, when you're uninformed and when, like, the people who you are supposed to trust to inform you are also, like...
Not really trying. Also, you can't really trust them to guide you in the right direction in the first place.
Whoo, man, that's a huge thing because, I mean, look at the state of this country right now. It's like we're being guided by someone that doesn't know, who doesn't necessarily know how this whole shit functions. And it's a hit or miss type thing. Mm-hmm. Like for every time, like, cause granted, I'm gonna give the big orange Muppet his props because North Korea, we didn't know what the fuck to do with them for 12 years. And now they're supposedly peace. So if that's the case, I give him his props for that. But for every one of those, there's 15 other fucking wrong things with like the deportate. Yeah. Like,
and we'll just see what happens with that. Cause he's supposed to meet up with them in public.
And we don't know what the fuck. In like, private.
Like
he's like, gotta stop watching TV.
I don't think that's going to happen.
No, right?
For sure. I'm just saying like, if that doesn't happen, just, drop all your hopes of...
Bruh.
It's crazy because like Fox News will report on what he's doing, but then he's watching Fox News.
Like, I love this information. They always mention me.
Bruh, it's so sad because news these days, it's like they're competing for ratings and you know it's like, I can't watch, I'm not watching Fox, I can't watch CNN because I know CNN is biased about certain and like...
That's when that branding thing... gets super cynical.
Yeah.
And that's when it gets like dangerous.
Because
it's like, and that's what, I guess that's what, I didn't mean to make the point earlier, like those things are bad, but it's just like stunting has like severe consequences the higher up in society you are.
Because he took the idea of stunt, like he took the rap model. He took stunting and brought it to politics. He took like everything that like is internet culture and just like, just that idea of like just being boisterous and just obnoxious and
he's like
just
if Lil B was evil,
bruh. Yeah,
if Lil B was like super evil,
and you're right, it's dangerous. And also, I think that's a thing. Like, I think the idea that you said about aesthetics, we need to like that could be dangerous as well. And let me pose why, because if you go on just looks, if something looks a certain way, but and it portrays an image. But that the thing behind it is not the aesthetically pleasing. It's like the aesthetics don't meet the inside.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe what he is at the end of the day as well, you know? Like I just wanted to pose that idea to you because when you look at it, and sorry for listeners right there, I'll just take my dip out, but not everything you see, the grass isn't always green, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just an idea to think of. And sure. I like that we went this left, like we went left, but I love it. I love it.
You about to like
go left again?
Yeah, no, gay. Go to history.
No, I am. That's what we was going next.
That's perfect.
That's exactly where we was going next. So the most recent song that you have that you released is WTOT. Fucking like, I love that song.
Oh shit! Yeah, that's the intro. Yeah.
I want to talk about that. Just like dive into the intro of the project and just get us into your take.
It's hilarious. First, it's hilarious because, like, the title. All right, so, like...
A time for distraction.
Yeah, what a time for distraction. And for the intro, the title WTOT stands for when the oppressed talk.
Okay.
And it's funny because, like, I've forgotten that title on multiple occasions.
Really?
It's always come back to me because, like... Because it's like, I'll go through lists of it. And, like, just possible, like, wake the oppressed
tracer.
Like, whatever. Like, yeah. Just
every now and then I'll ask him, I'll be like, what's that stuff
for? When the oppressed talk. But, like, yeah, but about the actual song, though. Like, the actual beat, for the most part, is just, like, samples from, like, different live performances. We're both, like you said earlier, we're both, like, classically trained musicians. And we both play or have played in, like, live groups. I play drums mostly, and then he plays brass, like tuba.
Okay.
Right. But so like I have different samples from. I wanted it to have like this kind of parade feel and like kind of march.
Like a marching band type. Right. Deal.
And so it's samples from us playing. It's like our second line group. And
shouts out New Natives Brass Band.
Yeah, shouts out. But yeah, so it's some of that. And then it's also, I took a trip to London a couple years back. And while I was out there, there was like this march, this annual thing that they do where it's just like students, they meet up at like the university. And then like, it's like a bunch. It's like, I'm talking like thousands of people probably. And like passed by the hotel that we were staying in. And like we were all in the lobby. And this huge group of people, they're just walking by. And they came from their university and they were just walking like across downtown to like some pub or whatever. And then they had like this huge party over there. And it's like an annual thing that they do.
Real.
And they had drums and they had like just all like
all people with signs, yeah.
People yelling shit. It was cool. And it was but really good vibes. Like nobody was like... scream like
it was just about the message.
It wasn't any argumentative type stuff. Like it was just like everybody was just having a good time. Kind of like what we experienced here with Mardi Gras when before people
get drunk sauce and stupid.
Yeah.
So I have a question. So with that being said, you've already told us you've traveled before. It seems like you're a worldly man, a man that likes to see the world and see other people. And then the song's called When the Oppressed Talk, When the Oppressed Speak. First question is, do you feel that you're part of the oppressed? And second question, whether or not how you answer the first question doesn't matter to the second one, do you feel that you're the voice or do you want to be the voice for the oppressed?
So as, I definitely feel as though like anyone who is below the 400 or like 400 individuals / 1%.
In that 1%, yeah.
Like, now, that being said... we as Americans are much better off than so many
people. First world.
We have so many things to like be, you know, whatever, happy for and everything. But
mean we don't have our shit though.
Yeah, the fact is like the real oppressed is just the people. Like I'm not just talking about the 1% of America. I'm talking about the 1% of the world and like that 99% is the huge conglomerate of people that like some of us are much better off than others and like live in way better lands that haven't been ravaged by like
the
empires and wars and whatever. Yeah. But as I do feel as though I'm a part of the oppressed class because in a sense we all are.
Yeah.
But just me as like an individual, I always have to take that route. Like I am a white male, and so it's like, and straight, so it's like all those things like make it so that pretty much I've come from like a semi not really wealthy but like upper
straight.
Middle class like family and so I've recognized whenever things like jobs that I've gotten has been from some jobs that I've gotten has been from some other connection that I made down the line that I recognize I wouldn't have made that connection if money wasn't available or if like my family like wasn't all here, which is also an advantage, like just shit like that. But yeah, so I recognize like, you know,
but to that point, I'm not going to let you sit here and say that I'm not going to let you take that. Like, I understand what you're doing 100% and I appreciate what you're doing.
But I constantly think about it.
No,
100%. I'm not just mentioning, you know.
No, 100%, and I respect you for taking that stand and doing that, but I'm of the belief that it's not, you don't have to take that stand just because of your skin color. You take that stand because of what you feel inside, and I feel that from you. And people shouldn't look at, like, just because you're a white male, it shouldn't be like you automatically say that. It should be because you feel that and you feel that. So I'm going to just sit here and say that, like, yo, you don't even have to do that here. You don't even have to do that. Cause like I feel the vibe and I understand it. Cause like you are trying to help people more than the average man. Like, so, and you understand that there's a difference between classes. There's a difference between socioeconomic classes. There's a difference between how much money you got in your bank account. And you understand all the differences between us. So I'm not, I don't want you to have to do that. You don't have to do that here. Not on my platform. Absolutely. So we just gonna talk without yeah. that. So yeah, just yeah. just I just wanted to bring that. But to your point about having like just being benefit of like your parents and just it's not what you know, it's who you know. Mm-hmm. I've had that thing happen to me, so you don't even have to use that as like a you don't have to say that you know, that's a problem. Like you want to like you know what I'm saying?
Right,
like,
right.
Because in this whole world,
the whole thing is networking.
Like that's 100%. That's the just, world.
It's not it's a benefit.
Yeah. No, for sure, for sure, for sure, for
it's
sure.
A,
for
it's
sure.
a broader like idea of like everybody's wealth because it's like I just like. Me and you, like, we're lighter than, like, you see it.
No, like, the that's the like, thing. Like,
darker like, skinned people have like,
a, like, yeah, like,
a harder the, time. But, like, it's like, there's levels to it.
There's so levels like, to everything. Like,
yeah. on top of if that, your, like, if your parents are, like, a director or something and your parent works for somebody else's parent, it's a complete divide. Yep. No matter, like,
if your parents are their own boss. Like, if your parents are, well, like, for us, example, just like, as African Americans, there's, like, an even bigger divide because if your parents are, like, well off, it's like, the black people don't like you because you're well off. White people don't like you because you're well off. So it's like, well, what the fuck? It's like, yeah. it's like you're yeah, fucking man. Lost. So it's like, I totally get that. So I appreciate the stand you're saying, but it's what you know. It's who you know. This world yeah. is all about who you know. If and that I feel is something I don't necessarily know if we have to change or if something that we need to just teach more people because yeah. I feel like if it,
I feel like that's just a given fact, honestly.
Yeah. Like, yeah, man, it's yeah. wild. Yeah. Like it's literally just wild. It's about who you know. Yeah. But back to your point about
yeah.
being the voice for the press.
Right.
I want you to touch on that.
Thanks for yeah. Cause so the yeah in that song like the whole thing is like this kind of pent up like going through different things. Like from all directions, you know. But it's all like. From this angry voice, this angry, like, populist style voice, which is really, like, the whole idea that I was trying to get across because, like, in the song, it's just, there's, like, it'll constantly, like, switch gears. They'll have those waves where it's, like, this, like, the instrumental, and then, like, stop.
And
like,
cut to something. Yeah, yeah,
cut. And then, so, yeah, I just wanted to try to get, like, a bunch of different views. But at just always trying to emphasize that anger that's behind it.
100%.
And that's like the anger and urgency, I should say.
100%.
Urgency is probably the, you know.
I fuck word. With that. I fuck with that heavy. So the next one I want to go to is Rhetoric Expert. Yeah, yeah. I love that song.
That's yes. his favorite.
No, I love yes. that song. Talk about just the writing that's process with that. And the meaning behind that, and because I know just from hearing the song, I know we can get to an interesting conversation.
Yeah, it's definitely huge amount of religious base in there, and it's also like a fact that I guess doesn't really have anything to do with it. But I wrote it during the Brazil Olympics,
really,
like literally while it was playing on the TV.
Do you think that impacted? Like,
not really, but it's just a vibe. Like to give me.
It's, no. Just like a little fact.
Yeah, I guess like because like I always every time I think about that song because normally I don't really remember writing necessarily. Yeah. But it's just like
I like it just because it's like it's from the time of like we were living together with two of our other friends.
It's just it's a time marker.
Yeah, it was yeah. like
oh, it was right after that. It was, right after we moved out.
It was that's when it was written.
Mm-hmm. When the lease and. Cause like yeah, oh come on man, we wouldn't have watched the Olympics at the house. Did you watch the Olympics? Cause the only reason why I watched it because my parents were watching. House, yeah. yeah.
Oh,
and so I was sitting there with my beat like with the headphones on, listening just to like shit. Yeah, writing Rhetoric Expert. But the whole thing is like yeah, definitely the whole religious thing, the whole idea of a rhetoric expert as like kind of like you know a panderer or yeah. like whatever. It could be thrown into the whole, like, the whole thing can be understood as, like, a politician. But, like, for me, the whole idea was the religious
aspect. So, okay, not to cut you off, then how do you feel about all these mega churches and super churches and just these panderers.
Detrimental.
Yeah, man. And me as a guy who is religious, I'm going to just point this out. I believe in a high power. I believe that there's something that, like, I can't deny certain things that's happened in my life that, whether or not you call it a god or not, that's up to you. But I believe that there's some higher power that's above me. Mm-hmm. But I don't believe in the idea. I hate super churches. And I told my mom this. I was like, Mom, if anything else fails, like, I can go do that. Like, I can just use my voice and just go be a super church preacher and make a bunch of money. My mom slapped me and was like, Son, if you ever say that fucking again, I will hurt you. Because she understood, like you said, that's detrimental. You're selling lies to people.
Yeah. You're selling, like, dreams. A distorted view of spirituality, too.
Exactly.
And that's the... Because, like, whenever I say, like, I'm... Because I mean, I don't even know what I would consider myself. Maybe an atheist or maybe an agnostic.
It doesn't even matter. But
what I'm saying is, like, definitely organized religion is, I think, because us as individuals, we can find our own, like, spirituality.
It's a path, yeah.
We're all going to have a different perspective regardless.
100%.
Also, if I just want to say on that, if there's a God, I think it's, like, the effect of having an organized religion where we are, as humans, measure the likelihood, like... Literally, like, religion to me is, like, using your entire life to measure the likelihood that you're going to move on to another life.
Okay.
And so, like, if God is real in this elaborate, like, entity, another being that picks stuff kind of thing, I feel like we all look like some assholes if we're...
Bro,
If that's actually the situation, which I don't think... I think it's much deeper than that, but, like... I feel like we look like some jackasses if our whole lives is just like, yeah, you should get some more points. And like,
bro, it honestly, like, from what you just said and from what we were talking about, just the pandering and the super churches and them reflecting themselves as the people who translate the word in the higher word and selling these dreams and lying, that's hubristic at the end of the day. That's my biggest thing with I'm not going to say necessarily because... I grew up Catholic, and organized religion in me have a very weird, like, just take on
same
life.
Like,
that's what I'm saying. Like, I believe in a higher power, and I believe in God, but just going to church and just the idea, I have a very weird relationship with it. And it's like, I feel at the end of the day that those people who take that stand is like the preachers and the people who are talking and saying that, at the end of the day, they could be considered hubristic. And that's the main sin of which, if what you're talking about, if that God, the way that it's said that it exists, heaven and hell moving forward in time, they're going to hell because of hubrism and the idea that they're placing themselves on the level that God is, and it's not the case. So,
which brings us back to stunting.
Facts, and it is, because it's about being yourself and being real, brings us directly back to stunting and being like not selling lies, selling dreams, man. And I'm glad we went off. We went to a political place. We went to a spiritual place. I loved it. So last question I have on just about this, about your tape. Sure. Like, I want to talk about the outro. I want the money.
Oh, yeah.
So just why'd you choose to end it with that and just...
Fun ass song to perform.
100%.
I wanted to have the last two tracks to both be like pretty big.
Mm-hmm.
And like, so that one, I mean, oh man, I want the money. First of all, like, I wanted a chorus that could be like definitely repeated.
Yes, man.
I want the money, so I'll say it like a puppet. Fuck it. Like, and also I definitely made it a thing to say fuck the most times in that song too.
Why?
Just. Because, like, well, cursing has always been, like, kind of a thing. But,
that's the fuck it. Yeah, that was also the time, we were saying fuck it for a lot of things. But, like, I remember there was this time where, like, we were both with these girls. And, like, me particularly, like, the only, like, I stayed with her at the end of the relationship. Strongest, like, the biggest reason was because, like, I constantly said fuck it, like, every time like it got to that point where it's like
you gonna break up with it,
like, we're hurting ourselves being together.
Fuck,
I was just like, fuck it, man. Cause, like, I was thinking about, like, I thought about, like I thought about my stepdad, like, I was just like, man, like, I watched him say fuck it all the time, like, this is how you
this like fuck,
yeah,
like,
this guy, how you do it. And it didn't work. But, like...
It never works.
Well, like, I remember we related it to politicians and how, like, Once you just say fuck it, you just like fuck it.
Yeah.
And that's something that as millennials we cannot do. We got to like with politics, like if we keep saying fuck it, what just happened will continue to happen.
We will die very soon.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like if you look at it, we didn't vote. At the end of the day, our people our age didn't vote. Like we didn't. It was mainly old people. And if old people are the only, like, I don't know how y'all feel about voting, and I know people, like, certain people feel like voting doesn't matter, yada, yada. But as a political science student, I'm going to say this. One thing. If we would have gotten out and voted, I'm not saying he would have won, but I'm saying a difference would have been felt on the numbers. Yeah. There would have been a difference in the numbers, and we would have saw what would have happened. And as a black person specifically, I feel like we definitely, like, more than white people, I feel like we gotta vote because niggas died for us to vote.
Yeah.
Like, definitely. People died in, like, and in, it's, like, it's, got murdered. And, like, anytime a black person tells me they, like, I don't mind if they say they miss it, but when they tell me they choose not to vote and they don't like voting, I just point out, like, millions of black people died so we
I have always had a big problem with like voting just because like we're in a red state yada yada
and see that's
but the because we've been like trying to he's been getting us like on our research and shit like Lafayette's like a community where like 47% of it is black where
if we don't even realize
like it's like deep so it's like if you're in a district like you just gotta, like, you gotta be smart. Check into politics, because, like, if you're in a district
that's where, mostly
like,
black.
That's mostly black and, like, or just, like, you have a demographic other than white.
Or not, like, not even white. A demographic that fits your, like, your beliefs. Let's not even bring it to
but
race.
But I'm just saying, I just want, like, the whole minority idea, because,
say, like, millennials. Just say if there's a district with just more millennials
involved. If you have more of those voters, like, you guys need to vote. And 100. You need to, like, express yourselves just because it's, like, your numbers matter there. Like, if you're in Ohio and you're like, man, I'm not going to vote, like, you're crazy. Yeah. Like, what is wrong with you?
No,
just
100%.
Do it. Just, like...
That's my thing. And I think now, like... Another reason why I started this podcast, I think now is like, whether you're Republican, Democrat, I'm talking to millennials out there. As millennials, people from the ages of 18 to about 27, we can communicate better to each other than people older than us can communicate to other people their age. And what I mean by that is, black people, like a white Republican may not listen to, and who are older than us may not listen to the qualms of minorities or women or even other white people. But I can at least say people that I know that are Republican and Democrat that are our age can sit across from each other and have a legitimate conversation and not get necessarily heated to an extent. So if that's the case, we need to come together and try to find a person that we both can agree on to try to push, like, to try to move the needle a certain way. Yeah. Like, that's something that has to happen, man. Yeah. But I think artists like yourselves do a good job of starting conversations like these. Right. And without you guys, conversations like these don't happen. So I want to applaud you guys for taking the stance of being people who want to talk about the issues and who want to talk not just about politics, but spirituality. Questioning, because not everything in this world is what it seems, and we need artists like you that question, so I applaud you guys for what you guys do.
Thanks,
100%.
Thanks.
So I want to get into rapid fire questions, because we talked about the business, and like this is the fun part of the interview. All so right. Rapid fire, because I know y'all got to get out of here soon.
Yeah.
I want to get
Shouts out What a Time for Distraction again, though, because like...
That shit was hard, bro.
It's such a deep... It's a project you gotta listen to so many times just to like, shit, like.
He layered it, it's onion. Once you pull back one layer of the onion, there's a whole nother and another, and then you get to the core.
I imagine this is what a father feels like when his son does something good.
He's like, yeah, boy, that's my boy.
That's my guy. You were gonna say something, Aubrey, before we get into the.
I don't know. We can keep going.
Word. Well, let's get into the rapid fire. The first thing I ask in rapid fire, I ask everybody this. Are you an ass man or are you a tit man? Which one do you prefer? You gotta pick. You gotta pick. And I've asked this to a person. Swag. We've only had one person say tits. Only one.
Who was it?
Hold on. It was an interview that I recently did.
Oh, man, I really hope it's somebody I know.
No, hold on. It was an interview I recently did. I'm going to be able to... Do you know Cole Pham?
No.
Wait. Yeah, Cole Farm said he was a tip man. Shout out to Cole.
Damn.
He's a rapper from Lafayette, but he lives in California now.
Sorry, Cole.
Cole said he was a tip man. That's a fact. So next question, because we're Louisianians, do you prefer, if you had to choose, crawfish or gumbo?
Ooh, gumbo.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm gonna say gumbo.
Chicken and sausage or seafood?
Right now, seafood. Yeah.
Based right. off taste, chicken and sausage.
Same, brother. But, I'm so happy you said that because seafood got that fishy taste too.
Yeah, dude.
Okay,
In terms of health, but
honestly,
in terms of health, they both bad.
In terms of health, no meat, true. No meat in the gumbo and crawfish on the side.
But that's not how you experience seafood
in Louisiana.
I'm just saying this. Are they still putting a shit ton of butter in the roux because you're still fucked with health and even with the no meat in there? Because they're gonna put a shit ton of butter in that roux to make that shit fuck
if you wanna,
everything in southern Louisiana.
If you
want
to be healthy, just don't come down here.
We
just stay where you are.
We crazy. What's y'all's favorite food? Each of y'all.
Oh, shit.
I mean, I guess pasta.
I like that Italian. I fuck with Italian food.
Damn, this is a hard ass question. I don't know.
We come with the hard questions.
I'm gonna be real, mom's spaghetti.
Because these are weak.
Okay, wait. As being an African American, does your mom call it tomato gravy? And does she do you get over rice sometimes? Like the spaghetti sauce with the people?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, there's two different kinds. The my mom makes this fire,
Spaghetti?
Yeah, just straight spaghetti. Like the shit that's always bad in every restaurant. Every single one, no matter how good they think they are, it's bad.
Yeah.
Because my mom does this shit. And she does that one. But over rice, it is tomato gravy.
That shit is fire.
That shit is crazy.
That shit is my shit.
But that's some, damn, we could go deep into that.
I could get tomato gravy with a fried pork chop. Then the meats are, meatballs in there, sausage.
And if you got cornbread, it's just a brick under the food.
Man, this dude got me wanting to make tomato gravy tonight for dinner. Facts. Okay, so if y'all could go on vacation anywhere, where would it be? And I'm interested to hear your answer because you just went on vacation a lot of places. But if you could go on vacation anywhere, where would it be?
You could go first because I'm thinking.
I want to say Italy.
That's fire.
Because that's where I want to go, even though he's gone there, and so it's
if that's where you want to go, fuck that nigga, bro.
I'm never going to Italy.
He what? Yo, I wish I could have. That's a meme. That was a meme. He was literally wait, what the fuck?
Where'd you go?
I went to London and Scotland.
That's because all these other
other friends of ours.
Yeah, Buku people want to go to Italy. Right. But no, Italy. I don't know. It's still in Europe. It's just something about I don't want to waste
If he's been there, you want to go somewhere different?
Yeah, I want to get the whole street corner everywhere. Real. I would say Dubai, though.
Dubai, man.
Bro, you got to have your bread when you go there. You're going to be a bum. Because, that shit is...
My thing is, I love places with, huge economic disparity, contrast.
Okay,
I would love to go to Guatemala. Because, I have friends from Guatemala. And if you're, on the rich side,
It's crazy.
It's so comfortable. It's, the most... no lifestyle is better. On the planet.
Real.
But if you're poor, you have the
worst
lifestyle on the planet. It's just...
Before you answer the question, why do you like going to places where you can see the disparity?
Because it's to me, it helps you focus in.
Real.
It's just I feel like in my life, I've been on tremendously different sides of
It humbles you to an extent.
Yeah, and because it's when you see what could be achieved through
hard work,
or just connection, or just if you see what's the highest achievement of a human, just in terms of that
Then you see the lowest of the low.
It's that's where the lucid thing comes in because it's different when you know all realities. You know your reality, that's cool, but if you know
wow. Everybody's okay. Then the follow up question. I'm gonna let you answer, but this is something I don't want to lose. Is it also an idea that you want to see it as an idea that you don't want to let that happen to you? A sense of a fear of that reality?
Well, no, I mean, I feel like, because...
A fear of having that reality happen?
I don't know, man, because it's like, we're like activists, we're trying to be activists, so it's like, I feel like it's less of fear and more of like knowledge and like what needs to like...
Change.
Yeah, because it's like, I feel like through whatever gets the top 1% to the top 1%, there's a goal-oriented mindset that could get the bottom...
There too.
Not even, not there, because I don't think that's part, but yeah, better, enough to build that community. 100. Like, because we're not going to be there. Like, I'm not going to be in the top 101% unless, like, Elon Musk comes to me right now and is like, I really like what you guys are doing.
Never doubt that shit, bro. Elon Musk might shoot y'all a hot DM.
I heard the album.
Yeah, bro.
These niggas not fucking with it. Yeah.
No, but he's like, yo, I got to bring the Delicate Finesse to Mars. We gotta,
I feel like the community, community thing is the important thing. Like,
100.
Develop a stable community, and, like, it don't even matter what 400 people are doing, 4,000 people, like, it's, we have a stable environment. Function,
100%. Know? Now, to you, finally, where would you want to go on vacation?
I would, talking on that same point, for sure, like, I would want to go to India.
Interesting. That's a big social disparity.
So much, and just on in terms of cultural, just different things that you'd see, to like the art that you could see. Like,
different, but completely different.
Yeah, it's just like definitely, and I guess it's like, I don't know. I want to go to the areas of the world that's like kind of like demonized more. So like not necessarily India, but like Turkey,
Russia,
or Eastern Europe, Russia.
Different.
Like, I would love to go to the Middle East, but you gotta know some language.
And you gotta know some people. Like,
you need.
I have friends who are from the Middle East, and they were like, we go to where our family is. Like, you gotta know where you can't fuck around out there.
Yeah.
But for sure. I like you two guys. Y'all are highly intellectual. Thanks, gentlemen. I like you two guys. Yeah. Listeners, you should like these two guys as well. So now, the final rapid-fire question is, which we always ask before we get into the final section of the podcast. Final rapid-fire is, if you were the screenwriter to this movie, how would it end? To the movie that's Lucid Dream, Awkward Glances, Street Corner, how would you want the whole movie to end? You're control of it. You're the universe's god, and you're writing the script to you guys'. How does it end?
Damn. Okay. You say what you want. Because
make it really dramatic.
Y'all each got y'all's own answer.
Yeah. We're gonna be some martyrs.
Real.
Yeah, all right. It's going to end with our deaths.
Real. Okay. All and right. The impacts felt after. Okay.
And so in my fantasy...
I fuck with that. Yo, that...
I fuck with that too.
Goosebumps.
All right. And so my alternate... Marvel ending, we don't become martyrs, but we achieve everything in like round 70. We're living in this like utopia, like some, that this isn't gonna happen.
You never know. Don't say that, bro. It might. We putting it on wax.
I hope that we achieve like this Wakanda like fantasy of mine. But like,
you got to do it then.
Yeah, but I think martyrs would be like either. I'm going to say martyrs in the sense of, like, even it could also be career. Like, I would love to go out, like, my whole career be crushed because of some, like...
A message you were standing for?
Yeah, and then, like, my activism, like, work. Because, like, I would feel kind of unproductive to die. Unless it was some, like, serious, like, terrorism or crazy some, shit. Like, global, like, I found out something. I'm perfectly fine with dying for something that opens up a mass truth to the entire world.
We're real.
That's important, and I'm not saying people should die, but people die every day fighting wars that don't need to happen.
Yeah.
If you're going to die...
Die for something that means something real. Word up. Great answers. So the final part of the thing, I know y'all got to get out of here, but the way we end this is just... What are some of y'all's likes, just outside of the music? Some of the things you like doing, whether that's movies, comics, anime, sports. Just give us some of your likes.
Shit, man, I paint all the time.
Real?
Yeah.
Big painters,
I really like painting, honestly.
Painting.
But,
I don't want to just like say things that like I watch.
Bro, you can. Like, we'll have a conversation about what you watch, nigga. Shit.
Shit. I've been watching a lot of like old shit. Like, I've been watching, what's that? Different Strokes. I've been watching
Yo! Different Strokes. Wild. That's a good show.
Yeah, I watch Different Strokes. I've been watching Beavis and Butthead a little bit.
Classic.
Just like researching things and like, just like fucking with shit like that. I have been like messing with like my like trying to get back into lucid dreaming a little bit.
Okay.
But I'm getting more into like this like meditation stuff. Like, we were heavy into meditation. Really? We actually need to do it more now because it's like with the album coming, we're like been stressed a lot.
Y'all gotta get back in that vibe. Yeah. Real.
But yeah, but like getting like, I get into like these like meditative things now, and I'm trying to like figure out some way to get like more DMT to my brain without doing anything.
Okay, you're trying to get it natural. All right, for sure, for sure. But, yo, yeah. you said you like. Oh, my bad. I didn't mean to cut you off.
It's good.
Oh, real? Okay, I was just about to say. Yeah. You said you like Marvel. Who's some of your favorite superheroes?
Right now,
and even if it's DC, you can say him because I'm a DC over Marvel kind of guy.
I don't know. Deadpool is up there. The real? Hulk has always been up there, and I feel like he slept on.
Oh yeah, they did the Hulk dirty in Infinity War.
Yeah, I feel like, I don't know, cause like I remember early on when I like
Hulk's supposed to be unbeatable, man.
Cause it's like I never got like I get like a little bit like our pop culture like shit that we're into is like all over the place just because of like families we came from. Mm-hmm. But like I only got into superheroes like through a little bit of comics and then like the shitty movies. Really? But I was always just like Hulk is like easily like the strongest one that's still a human, like. Just on every aspect, like Tony Stark has to build like the best suit,
yeah,
to like compete with them. So I was just like, what?
They nerf him. The movies don't show, like, if you read the comics, Hulk
he's vicious. He is like
the madder he gets, the stronger he gets, and the harder it is to penetrate his skin.
Yeah,
like Hulk is like what happened in any movie that you pick out that's been made. What has happened in it with Hulk? It shouldn't have happened.
Debo is like, harder than the Hulk in like bro, movie form.
They like, really like do him dirty. The Hulk is like, are you big in the comics?
Not too much, not but too I will say like my favorite like hero movie is definitely Watchmen.
What? I love that.
Yeah, fucking love
Watchmen. Yo, DC man, like when DC does it right, they have some of the most compelling characters. And like I put it like this because Watchmen was a tale of like deconstructing the idea of what it means to be a superhero and like should they have this power, like, mm-hmm. and just the idea of what it means to be a superhero, and like that's what DC does. DC are their heroes are gods that wants to be humans, whereas Marvel are humans that want to be gods, in the sense of DC's heroes are only heroes because they have to be, not because they want to be, whereas Marvel's heroes want to be heroes. Like, it's a different, and I feel like DC has more compelling villains, and the villains drive the heroes to do crazy shit, whereas Marvel, they centralize on their heroes, where the villains are second nature, where I feel is, it's the villain that's supposed to drive the hero to do great things, not the hero drives the villain to do evil, more evil, right. And that's the contrast between Marvel and DC, and that's why I'm a bigger DC guy. I'm just trying to throw y'all on the DC wave.
I work at Zoomies in the mall, and you just made me think somebody who started having a conversation similar to this about like Marvel and DC. And I remember like I didn't really know what he was talking about, like certain references he was saying, but like I just like completely like, and I do this sometimes like working, like I just completely like agree with them.
Real.
Just to like
just to get them to shut up.
Yeah, but like I was like the worst, I was just lying, like, I was just like, oh, yeah, like, I'm totally with that, and, like, this dude got so happy, and then he left, and then I was just like, thank God, like, I will always lie to get out of situations like that.
But, like, man, definitely, okay, so you're a big Marvel guy? Yo, scroll through those books. There's one that I want you to have.
Whoa.
There's one that I want you to have. It's Spider-Man on the cover.
All right. I've been getting more into Spider-Man.
Whichever one is Spider-Man on the cover, you take that one. That's a gift to you guys. Real. That's for y'all to take. That's for y'all to take home. That's awesome.
Appreciate it, dude.
That, and then look, there's one with a... There's one... Let me see. Show me the covers of the paperback ones. Because I'm going to give Aqua one, too, that I think he would like. There should be two more. Let me see them. There's
Transformers and Masters
of the Give him Masters of you. Yeah. That's for Aqua to have. I think you enjoy that one. Appreciate just based it, on, like, some of the philosophies in it.
Yeah.
That's some good shit in there. So that's for you guys. But, yeah, that's the interview. This has been episode 47. You guys tell the people where they can find y'all at on the internet. And tell them where they can get all y'all at on social media.
So you can find us on SoundCloud at the corner, the SoundCloud / corner of the street. You could also find me, Awkward Glances, on SoundCloud, Instagram, and you can find
me on Instagram, Dreams is Lucid, like the Chance verse. You can find me on SoundCloud, Lucid Dream Sounds. I'm sorry, I got all these different names. It's just because. People are thirsty. More different stuff. You can find us on Facebook, The Street Corner, all one word. A lot of different platforms you can find us just with The Street Corner, all one word. But we're dropping the album, New World Errors.
And we'll get y'all back to talk about it because I want to definitely talk about the album because we need a part two, man. Because we could have went on even longer, but I know y'all got
to
get out.
We're actually about to go to an artist meeting.
Real.
For like a visual art thing. It's called
Magnolia Shed.
Yeah, if you're in Lafayette, the Magnolia Shed. Every month we do one, and we're going to have a Magnolia Shed Fest.
We don't do it. It's actually one of our friends.
Yeah, James.
We're always
repping it.
It's dope, man.
Repping Magnolia Shed, repping Port Culture.
Facts.
Shouts out Leo. Shouts out Austin Rap Bomb.
Yes.
Mutual friend.
Facts. Definitely know that dude.
Shouts out Nick Grant.
Shouts out, but this has been episode 47. You can find me at Berlin the Don on Instagram, at Berlin the Don on Twitter. Follow the Bros Who Think Network, at Bros Who Think. We got all kind of new shows. By the time you hear this, our YouTube will be out, baby. The premiere show of our YouTube channel will be started. Shout out to my girl, Danielle J. She's been kicking ass developing this YouTube show. So you make sure you guys check that out. Check out Primetime. And Lucia's going to have some new content for you guys. Take the L. They're coming back. And yeah, man, we're just working hard at the Bros Who Think Network. So you guys check out all the new content. And you guys have a great week. Enjoy it. And for the Bros, my name is Lyndon Burton. And for the Bros Who Think Network, peace.
Yeah. All right. Let's get it. Listen clear. This don't mean a thing to me. What? In this waking life, I might as well be sleep. Yeah. Listen clear, this don't mean a thing to me. In this waking life, I might as well be sleep. Dreams, 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 whoa. Dreams, dreams. Who you know else commits the sticky with the cerebral? Conscious thinker with the steamroll. Probably tell your kids to read more. Am I a pacifist or simply a lazy activist who's been waiting to pass the fist? Ask any leader if they bad as this, and I'ma tell them this just the genesis. 8 tracks to express the mess. I don't care if you feeling this, trying to beat my stress. And yes, this beat sound on some Dilla-ish, his very best. I'm equipped to, I must confess, I must contest with the industry best. I'm out here dreaming in this rap game. They just wanna see me flex, and I'm like, listen clear, this don't mean a thing to me.